Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Amy, as my husband has said, and I'm just so happy to be here this morning. Now, typically, I'm on the other side of the building helping with the children, which you'll find out is my joy and my heart. I love to do that. I love to work with kids. I love to help them know who God is week after week. But this morning, I have the privilege to be with you all this morning and to continue our series, Parenting in the 21st Century, Part 3, The Honor Code. And so last week, Pastor Keith preached a message about love. And who remembers that scripture? It was love is patient. Good. And he encouraged us, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, teachers, anyone that works with children or has influence over children, to love as Jesus loved. And today, we're going to discover what the Bible says about this word discipline. And so many of you may know that my background is in special education. I was a teacher for many years, and it was really my passion and my heart to teach. I absolutely loved it. And now I graduated in 2010. It was like the hardest time to get a teaching job. There was no jobs. And if you got a teaching job out there, you were extra special, and I definitely had some envy for you. And that was something that the Holy Spirit had to work in my heart. But it was hard, and job after job after job passed me by, and I began to question my purpose. And so what happened was I ended up landing a teaching assistant position. If you can't be a teacher, might as well assist one. And so I worked there for many years, and it was the hardest season of my life, the hardest time in my career. I just struggled so much. And about a year into that job, I discovered that I was going to be a mom for the very first time. And so I was so excited. I felt confident. I knew how to work with children with challenging behaviors, because that's what I did day after day at my job. So I felt prepared on how to discipline my own child as I was preparing to become a mom. I was going to correct his behavior. And so I was the behavior expert, and I was ready to apply my knowledge to my own children. And soon after, little Nathaniel was born, and the Holy Spirit began to redefine my idea of this word discipline. And so when I looked up this word discipline in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, there was one definition that I absolutely loved, and it says this: to train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control. And that root word of discipline actually comes from the Latin word for learner or disciple. And so a disciple is one who receives discipline by learning through instruction. So let's clear up something on the front end, okay? When I speak of discipline this morning, I'm not speaking of punishments or consequences. I'm speaking on how we teach and we build skills that outlast us as parents or caregivers. I'm speaking of how we gospel our children and the children around us to love as Christ loved. And Dr. Tony Evans says it this way: instructing your children in the Lord means spending time with them so they can see how you live out the gospel. So by a show of hands, who wants the children in their life to know God more? I know I do. That's why I'm here. I want to know God more, right? And maybe you do too. So that's why we're here this morning. And parents, you have this amazing gift to blaze the way for your kids to know God. And discipline is part of that. And this morning, I don't want to offer any discipline strategies. I want to just help us reprogram each other on what discipline is. So it's not punishments, it's not consequences. And the question that's going to really guide our time together is, what does it look like then to discipline in a healthy way? So if discipline is not punishments and not consequences, what is discipline? And we're going to turn to Scripture to find our answer. So last week, Pastor Keith started reading from 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, right? You might hear that at weddings. And we read verse 4, and he only got three words in. This love is patient, right? And we got stuck right there, because parenting can sometimes fall apart right at that word patience. Like, I'm not patient when I asked you 5 times to get your shoes on. Like, I'm not feeling patient right then and there. I'm not patient when I asked you to brush your teeth. I thought that you did, and then I went into the bathroom and your toothpaste is still on the toothbrush. Like, I don't feel patient in that moment. Or I'm not patient when I asked you to be home at a certain time and you're not. Or I'm not patient, maybe you have adult children and they ask you for advice and then they do the opposite of what you said. You're not feeling patient. But we learned last week that the call of Jesus is to love in a sacrificial way, to move at someone else's pace and to slow down, because love is patient. And so I want us to keep reading what Paul writes to the church of Corinth and then apply it to what we already know this morning, that disciplining our children is really teaching and nurturing them so they can make healthy decisions when they're adults in their life. And as Christian parents, we're called to do that, to instruct and teach our children. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, you wouldn't say that you're a Christ follower. I think you could agree and say that you want to instruct your children and teach them how to do well in life. So the author of Proverbs actually says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I hate to burst some bubbles, but if you grew up in church world and you heard this scripture, this passage is not saying that if you raise your children in a Christian home, bring them to church every week, they will be Christian adults. I'm sorry. That is not what it's saying. What it is saying is, as you use wisdom and insight to teach or to discipline your children according to the God-given gifts and interests they have, then when he or she is older, he or she will stay on that path. And too often, I think we emphasize the second part of that verse and we miss the principle for ourselves as parents, the part where we are to train, to teach, and instruct our children to know God. It's a call to guide, it's a call to teach, correct, redirect, and discipline. And there are absolutely opportunities to do this at any age that your children are, or those children that you have influence are around you. So if you're anything like me, when my children do something wrong, I naturally want to give them a consequence. So perhaps that means I take something away from them, no more video games, no more TV, or I reprimand them in some fashion. And then I'm tempted, and maybe you are too, to just leave it at that. They do something wrong, they mess up, we take something away, and we keep on going. And that's based on a condition. And oftentimes, I believe it declares a message that we as parents, we don't mean to declare. We don't want our children to hear this when that happens, but I think that it does. And what we're saying is, when you do what is right, what I want you to do, I'm happy with you. And when you do what is wrong, I'm not happy. But disciplining our children, it calls us to more. It calls us to face that parenting situation with a gentle spirit that works towards something more than just that current moment. So let's look back at Paul's words to the church of Corinth. So we remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is patient, And then he goes on to say, love is kind. And I know that word kind, and you dads that watch football and do all those things, you're like, kind? I'm raising my son as a man. Kindness is soft, it's weak, it's too nice. Right? And allow me to just push back just a little in love, of course, that kindness is actually an expression of strength. Unkindness is weakness. And I'm going to say it again because it's really good. Kindness is actually an expression of strength. Unkindness is weakness. Unkindness demonstrates a lack of self-control. And that working definition that we have for discipline, right? To train or to develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control. If you're unkind to someone, you've lost control of yourself. And something else is now controlling you. So maybe it is in a discipline moment with your child, or maybe it is with someone else in your life. Unkindness towards someone else demonstrates that you are not self-aware and that you lack discipline in your life. Kindness is actually loaning someone else your strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. And we're going to allow Pastor Andy Stanley to speak into this a bit more. So watch the screen.
Your children already know where and when they failed. They do not need to be reminded, especially by you. Mom, your words weigh 100 pounds. And Dad, our words, they weigh 500 pounds. And I'm not sure why, but they just do. So loan your children your strength and let the world remind them of their weakness. Let the world remind them of their shortcomings. Like you, they wake up every single day wondering if they measure up, if they've got what it takes. Every day the world they live in makes them doubt themselves. When they fail, when they fall short, when they don't measure up, when they mess up, find a way, this is so important, find a way to side with them, not against them. Loan them your strength. When I got my first traffic ticket, I was 16 years old, and I was driving home from school in my mom's beige four-door Catalina, a spectacularly unimpressive vehicle. And when I got the ticket, of course, I was so afraid to tell my dad. And when I told him, he certainly wasn't happy, but he did not remind me of what I already knew. Instead, and he didn't have this terminology, but instead he loaned me his strength. It's why I still remember this story. He didn't bail me out. If he had bailed me out, that would have been a reminder of my weakness. Hey, give me that ticket, son. I'll find out what you need to do. Implication being, Andy, you can't do anything right, including figure out how to handle a traffic ticket. Instead, he took the posture that I've tried to take with my kids. Essentially, his posture was this. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. In fact, this is a great habit to get into whenever your kids get into trouble. Just, oh, no. That's too bad. I'm so sorry you got a ticket. I held out the ticket and he didn't even take it out of my hand. He asked, so what's next? And of course, I didn't know. And he said, well, turn it over on the back. There's some instructions. And then he just left it to me to figure it out. He honored me by assuming I was smart enough to figure out and responsible enough to follow through. He sided with me, not against me. And I ended up going to court. And he went with me. I actually had to go before a judge, but I never doubted in the whole process that my dad was not only with me, my dad was for me. He loaned me his strength. Now, while I'm on this, and this is a big deal, this is why you should never, and you're not, some of you are gonna disagree with this, but I'll just throw it out there anyway. This is why you should never announce a punishment ahead of time to your children. This is such a big deal. Never announce a punishment ahead of time. That's actually siding against your children. Here's what that communicates. Not only do you have the potential to mess up, I'm anticipating it. I'm prepared for it. Here's what's gonna happen if you break the rule. So never announce a punishment ahead of time. Don't threaten. Just expect the best and then act shocked when they mess up. Oh no, I didn't see this coming. That's terrible. Now you're going to have to face the consequences. I hate that for you. Take their side and then honor them by allowing them to carry the full weight of the consequences. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about discipline later and this will make a little more sense. But one more thing on this. As your kids get older and they mess up, break a rule, whatever, one of the first things they want to know is what? One of the first things they want to know is, what are you going to do? You know, what's the punishment? Act unprepared. Say, I don't know. I am so surprised by this behavior. I just never thought you would, whatever it is they did, and leave them hanging. Now, when they're young, you got to be swift. You got to connect the dots. But once they're older, drag it out. And again, this will make more sense in just a few minutes. The point here is simply this. Side with them before you discipline them, because this is what God did for you. Think about it. If you're a Christian, of a Jesus follower, while you were still a sinner, God said, what? You're a sinner? No. While you were still a sinner, Christ sided with you. He died for you. He loaned you his strength. He did for you what you could not do for yourself. So, quick question before we move on. What is your go-to response? What is your go-to response to weakness in your children? Think about this. What is your natural reaction? What is it you say? How do you respond? What is your go-to response when you sense weakness or failure in your children? Do you side with them? Or more specifically, do they feel as if you side with them? Or do you side and move against them?
I love that question. And it's not meant to be a question to condemn us, but to draw us closer to the truth, closer to the way that we truly want to parent and discipline. And we're just going to keep reading Paul's words. We're going to look again at Scripture. And so we have the definition of what love is, and now Paul writes what love is not. 1 Corinthians 13:4 continues to say, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And every one of those words, envy, boast, proud, who's at the center of those words? The person that acts that way, right? Person that carries those qualities. And I know we're so quick to be like, no, that's not me. I'm not proud, right? And like the finger goes this way, because there's moments where pride comes into my heart. And I have to call that out and say, oh, no, mommy was wrong in this moment. And so I think too often our discipline could reflect us and be more about us than our children and what they need in those moments. And so if we're at the center, then we want what we want them to do. Has anyone ever felt parent shaming, maybe like on Facebook or Instagram or at the store? Right? We see other kids listening, obeying, being obedient, or we have conversations with other parents that their kids are achieving these great things and have this wonderful job and high test scores. And so maybe in those moments, you're like, that's what I will discipline towards. That's my goal. And that's not love, according to Paul. If that's your goal, to get your kids to be that certain way that you want them to be, that's not love. It's not love is patient. Love is kind. And so my encouragement is stop looking elsewhere. Stop scrolling. And let's all of us take our eyes off other people and stop comparing their kids to our kids and just love our children. Speaking to myself too. Just love our children right where they're at, whether it's your own biological child or not, that child that God has placed in your care, just love them. And why can we do this? Because God did it for us. Sounds so simple, but yet it's the truth. As a parent, if you don't feel good about yourself, if there's something going on in your heart, it's then difficult to allow your child to have success, maybe, or you have a hard time celebrating what they have going on. Maybe you point out what they could have done better and always correcting them and consider what they could have done better the next time. And what Paul is saying, though, is that love is about others. It's not about you. And then Paul introduces this term regarding love that we've decided, Pastor Keith and I, to be the centerpiece of our home. And prayerfully, yours today. So you'll find this term in every mutually satisfying relationship. And when a family, a community, a company, or a country embraces this concept, it really eliminates this countless rules and regulations that you can get caught up into, right? So you make one rule for that, then you need another rule for that. And so when Paul writes about this, this really will just eliminate that. And so we decided to adopt this in our home. Do I have you on the edge of your seat? You're like, what is it? Right? And so Paul writes it, and you know it to be true. He writes in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love, it does not honor. And what he's saying is that love honors others, that honor is superior to obedience, regardless of what culture tells us. If our goal is to just have obedient children, then I think we're kind of selling our kids short and we're parenting to that lowest common denominator, that just the lowest part, just obey, instead of honor one another. The Greek word for honor means to value highly, to hold in the highest regard, and to respect. So what Paul's writing is that love doesn't belittle, devalue, or disregard others. And when we apply this truth to parenting, we are to respect and value our children as we discipline them. But how? How can we do that? And I believe we need to have a long-term perspective in mind. So parents, such as myself, who have younger children, we should be disciplining them with our adult children in mind, which is really scary, especially if you have a baby, right? And you're like, my adult children. But that's the truth of it. We want them to become honoring adults, respectful adults, disciplined adults. And I think parents that have older children can maybe amen to that, right? You want to instruct and guide your children with the goal of this long-term relationship in mind. Hebrews 12:9 says, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers, parents, who disciplined us, and we respected them for it." So I believe that a healthy discipline creates respect. It's an ongoing process. And yes, that's harder, right? So as we respect our children as the parent, they learn how to then respect us. And so one example I thought of is, regardless of how old I get, and I'm getting older, even if I don't want to, I will always call my dad, Dad. His name is Rich, but it would be disrespectful for me to call him by that name, because to me, he's more than just a person I know or somebody, a friend. He's my father, and I respect him by calling him Dad. So how else can we demonstrate the high value that God puts on honoring others to our children? And I think the second way is we can model it. When you honor your spouse or those around you, you're showing your children how important it is to honor and respect others, especially in those really high, intense situations. That's the most challenging part, because little eyes are always watching and little ears are always listening if you have little ones, right? Or maybe it's when you're teaching them how to drive, right? The way you respond to the other people on the road is how they're gonna learn how to respond to other people on the road. And the last way I thought of is by being consistent. if we're inconsistent in our discipline, we make it really difficult for our children to respect us. And then I don't want that for my child, and I don't think you do either. So let's be parents who are consistent in our words and our actions. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." He's saying, put others first. Not because they deserve it, but it's because God put you first when he allowed his son to get under your sin. So we model it, we teach it, we expect it, and we look for ways to build honoring behavior in the rhythm of our families. We're not perfect at it, but we're working towards it. And I pray that that's something you strive for after today. So something I recently started doing with my kids is having them tell one another something that they love about the other. And so it's really fun. They don't always want to do it. But when we're in the car and they're like strapped down and can't get away from me or each other, I say, oh, come on, guys, let's think of one way that something you love about the other one. And, you know, because they're really close in age, almost 7 and 5, and they just fight and fight and fight. So my hope with this is that, you know, they would start to learn words of encouragement and how they can lift one another up. And so just the other day, we had stopped somewhere. There was some candy out, and so Nate grabbed it. Mommy, can I have this piece of candy? And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So there was a cherry Laffy Taffy and, like, a green Laffy Taffy. Me and my sister would always fight over the cherry ones. I know there's some people that always go for the green, but we would always fight over the cherry ones. So, of course, he grabbed that one, and she saw it. I wanted the cherry one. And so I'm like, oh, great, okay, this is going to be a whole thing, right? And I was shocked. Nate hands her the cherry one and says, Mom, I want to show her honor and let her have the cherry one. And I was like, oh, like, I was totally, totally shocked. So that's one out of 100 examples. The one time he chose honor, the 99 times he didn't. But needless to say, they are watching, they are listening, and when you least expect it, they will show you that. And so if you decide to choose kindness and honor as the centerpieces of your homes and your families, then anything that's dishonoring requires discipline. You can't ignore it because ignoring it rewards it. So the question remains, is discipline needed in parenting? Absolutely. Should discipline be associated with punishments and consequences? Absolutely not. And why? Because in that, there's really no goal. Discipline always makes someone better, right? If you're disciplined in your eating, you might shed a few pounds and feel better about yourself. But punishment doesn't make anyone feel better. It just maybe makes us more careful so we don't get caught the next time, right? The message of punishment is, if you don't obey me, bad things will happen to you. And I know I said I wouldn't share any discipline strategies with you, but I'm going to just share just one. Something that we just do in our own home is when someone chooses not to honor someone else, maybe in their words, by maybe hurting with their hands or taking something that doesn't belong to them, breaking a promise. I mean, there's so many ways, right? We strive to discipline towards restoring the broken relationship because dishonor in a relationship breaks trust, and that breaks the relationship. So for my kids at their age, that means that they're drawing us pictures or writing something out. And there's also plenty of moments where I get to get down on my knee and I ask for forgiveness. Mommy wasn't showing you honor in this moment. Can you forgive me? Is there anything I can do to fix this? And that's just really good language to use in those moments. Like, how can I make this better for us? How can I fix our relationship that was broken? Let's think about it. If dishonoring behavior breaks a relationship, breaks trust, then what should the goal of our discipline be in those moments? Restoring that broken relationship, right? Restoration of the relationship. So the honor code is this: discipline your children in the direction of relationship restoration. And you might want to jot that one down and keep it on a postcard right in front of your face, because if you're like me, I tend to forget that. Discipline your children in the direction of relationship restoration. Discipline must restore the relationship. Otherwise, it's just behavior modification, and that's something that I leaned on for way too long. I was really good at it, too. This way of discipline, it's not normal. It's not what you'll find out in the world. It's kingdom parenting. It's kingdom living. And we get it right from Scripture, from the center of our faith. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Or I might say it this way: "For all have sinned and have a broken relationship with God." And what did God do? He punished us? He didn't. Sin actually has a built-in payment plan for that. All sin comes prepackaged with its own punishment. We know this to be true. Instead, God, he made the first move, and he sent us out to now restore the broken relationships. He made the first move and restored our relationship with him, and now we can go and restore the broken relationships with others, the ones we break through our impatience, our unkindness, our dishonoring responses. He has given us the gift of teaching children how to restore theirs as well. It's a gift. It's a privilege. And so loan them your strength, model respect, and discipline towards relationship restoration. And that's good parenting. And that's what I'm striving for. And that is what our Heavenly Father has done for all of us. And so this morning, if you're here and you're just saying, wow, my relationship with my Heavenly Father isn't restored, it feels broken, I just want to lead you in a moment where you can just surrender it to him. Just make this moment real to you. My words aren't anything special. You can say them in your mind, in your heart. You can say them out loud. But if that's you online too, I just want to take this moment just to give you an opportunity to seek God and ask him to forgive you, that to be made new, and to be your Heavenly Father. So would you join me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who you are, how you sent your son to restore our broken relationship, to restore us, to cleanse us of our sin. And this morning we are here with open hands, ready to receive, Lord, your goodness and your grace. Lord, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And today we declare that you are my Savior. And if that's you this morning, you declare that truth right now in this moment. Don't let it pass you by. It's not for tomorrow. It's not for later. If this morning you want Jesus to be the center of your life, just invite him in. We thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing, and then we'll stand and worship one more time. But allow this time, all distractions, to be away. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment, Lord. Work in our hearts. I thank you for every parent as we strive to do better. Lord, that you are leading and guiding them, that their surrender to you first and foremost, that we follow you and your ways and your truths. Lord, may we step aside and allow you to lead us as we love and respect and guide and teach and discipline our children in such a way that isn't normal. But it's only by your strength, Lord, that we can do this. So right now, we ask for more of your strength, Jesus. Just ask him right now in this moment for more of his strength, because I promise he will give it to you. Seek him humbly with an open heart. Lord, our hearts are open. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. Let's worship together this morning.